We are very proud of y'all for your accomplishments. Those are tremendous accomplishments. And when Brother Stephen was talking about Kelsey, said, very sweet girl. It's a very, very sweet girl. I remember a long time ago, Kelsey says, oh, dear. She was a little bitty thing, and her grandma was taking her out there. Went to the bathroom a few times, Kelsey. I'm just saying. There, Granny took you there. But it really is a blessing to see these kids as they've grown up and to hear how well they've done academically and then to go off into meditation like Kristen's going to go off into meditation. Yeah, I thought you were doing yoga or something there for a minute, but no, we're proud of you. I mean that. And congratulations, Angela, your master's. That's tremendous. And the accomplishments that you guys have done really is a blessing here. And the Air Force is just proud of all of you. I mean that. And they're very, very proud of you guys. And with that, I want to talk today out of the book of 1 Peter. Go ahead and open your Bibles today, the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll be talking to the graduates as well as all of us today that I hope will be of interest to you. We're going to look at a fun passage of Scripture, really, because what Peter is doing is he is telling us, really in essence, and the title of today's sermon is how to get the most out of life. How to get the most out of life. Now, we know contextually as far as the backdrop, of course, is it's a very wicked time in the world. It's a horrible time. If you were going to be a Christian, the first century was a horrible time to be a Christian in regards of how difficult it was, how difficult it would have been to live for the Lord, how difficult it was because in all honesty, just claiming the name of Christ could have cost you your life in the first century. Nero, the wicked emperor Nero was the emperor. He was truly, as we often say, a very ungodly individual. He hated God. He hated Christian people. Set fire to his own town, and you know he blamed the Christians for it. Just a wicked, wicked person, and a horrible time to live as a believer in Jesus. But as we've noticed, and it's true, it's often in the darkest of night that the light can shine the brightest. And even though this was the first century, it was dark times, Christian people still could stand out and be heard for the Lord Jesus. And they could do as the Bible says, let their light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And our challenge to all the graduates today will be to do that, to be a light, to continue to love the Lord and really passionately pursue after Christ. Every single one of you will be faced with adversity. Every single one of you will be faced with choices to make as far as in the direction of your life. Here you stand really at a crossroads, all of you really, at a crossroads with life and as far as where you're going to do in your careers. And our encouragement to, as your pastor, but also as our church, would be no matter what you do, do it in light of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has really given you the ability to do what you're going to do. And always keep him first in your life. And that seems cliche, I know, in our culture. I know sometimes even in a church perspective, but keeping Christ first will be a challenge because you're going to be faced with a lot of things. You're going to be faced with a lot of choices. You're going to be faced with a lot of critical choices in your life, not only educationally, perhaps, you know, who knows, as far as maritally, you're going to be faced with a lot of things. So in light of that, here we are, 1 Peter chapter 3. Please stand once again in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We'll pick up in verse 10 for time, and we'll focus today on verses 10 through 12. And again, Peter is really going to show us, and what we're going to do, just going to do a word study. We're going to kind of look at some of these words and just give you some definitions on them. We're going to talk about your attitude, your actions, and the application of these verses. And it starts here in verse number 10. Peter writes and says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil." 1 Peter 3, verse 10. "And his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it means to pursue. And the application comes in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask, Lord Jesus, you'll bless the reading of your word. May you be pleased, God, with what takes place in these next few moments. We do pray for these graduates, Heavenly Father, that you'll hedge them about, that you'll watch over them. And God, that you will just do amazing things as you already have in their life. Tremendous accomplishment. Many graduating with honors, Lord. It's a lot of work to do that. And Father, we thank you for their dedication to education. Lord, we ask now again, bless the service. May it be pleasing to you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Peter writing here was really going to tell us in the context of life, and it's interesting how he just makes that right away. He makes a statement that really captivates my heart when he says, for he that will love life and see good days. That should be really the desire and ambition of every single one of us in this room. We want to love life. You say, yeah, but preacher, life is hard. You're absolutely right. You know, it's more than just a song, right? Yes, it is. Life can sometimes be hard. But as we're going to show you in Scripture today, a lot of it comes down to some of the principles that Peter lays out for us right here in the Word of God. In the first thing, so if we're going to, you know, if we're going to get all that we can of life, if we're going to get the most out of our life, what do we have to have? Well, first of all, it starts with attitude. Did you notice here in these verses of Scripture, and again, just notice this, and we're gonna kind of expound on this for a moment. The Bible says, for he that will love life. He that will love life. Now, what do we know a little bit about? What do we know about love? Well, first of all, we know that love is a choice, right? It's a choice. You know, you hear people say, well, I just fell in love with that person, or I fell out of love with that person. Well, first of all, let's examine what you say when you're saying that. For someone that says, I fell in love with that person, you didn't fall in love. What happens is you made a conscious choice to love that individual. Love is a choice. So if love is a choice, then Peter is giving us, he's laying before us, we have a choice to make. For he that will love life, so in essence, he's telling us, and to the grads and everyone that are here watching the internet, what he's telling us is, life, in the context of life, if we're going to love life, it really comes down to our attitude to choose to do it, to choose to love life. It's true, and yes, it is true. Life is a gift. It's absolutely a gift of God. You know, you didn't, the Lord in his great wisdom and God in his plan chose to give you life. He chose to give us life. He chose to bring us in to existence, using a mom, using a dad to bring us into existence. Maybe raised as I was by someone other than your biological as far as, you know, mom and dad. But the point being, it comes down to our attitude. A.T. Robertson wrote, he says, in the context of this, he says, when it says loving life, it's an act of the will. It really is. You ever met somebody that they're just negative about everything? Man, how's your day? Horrible, you know? Well, okay, I'm going to go get a hot dog. but it's amazing when you sometimes see people that regardless of the situation, they make a choice that, no, I'm not going to allow my circumstances to dictate how I feel or my reaction. I want to choose to love life and see life for what it is. It's a gift of Almighty God. It's a tremendous gift. Amen? Life is a gift. He says, love life. For he that will love life. It's an attitude of faith that sees the best, if you will, in every situation. It means to deliberately decide. You know, it's the opposite of what Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, verse 17, where Solomon literally wrote, he said, therefore I hated life. Now, why had Solomon hated life? How had he gotten to the point in his life where he hated life? I'll tell you how he got there. Because he chose to live his life like there was no God, and he chose to live his life like there, number one, there was no God, but also there wasn't a God that you would be accountable to. And there wasn't, and chose to live his life like there was no right or wrong, like there was no absolute truth. But when he gets towards the end of his life, he then begins to realize that what he had done, he had wasted his life. And then he ends his writing in Ecclesiastes, says this. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole matter of what, Solomon? The whole matter of life. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter of life, if you will. He said, here's the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty. That's the reason God created you. That's the reason God created us. Every one of us in this room. We were created, and I know you know this. Do you realize, and I know you guys probably realize this, but I want you to chew on this thought for a moment. Do you realize you were created on purpose? You were created on purpose. Now, and you say, well, wait a minute. No. God created you on purpose. You're not an accident. We're not some accident of some evolutionary process. We are that you've heard me say it so many times. We're the handiwork of a loving God, a loving creator God. So God chose to give us life. And not only did he choose to give us physical life, if you've been born again, what a joy and blessing it is to know that the Lord Jesus in his grace and mercy has given you spiritual life in him. What a joy, amen? Life is hard, but thank God you don't have to go through it alone. Can I get a witness? Amen? We have the Lord Jesus. If we're born again, we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior. There's three choices. So he talks about loving life under this attitude here. It means it is to be well satisfied. When it says he that will love life, it means to be well satisfied with life. Now, I'll be honest. So often you meet people that they're not satisfied with life. They feel that life has given them a bad hand, if you will, a bad deal. But friend, please understand, on the authority of Scripture, as long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity to praise the Lord God who's created you. You have an opportunity to give him glory with your life, and you have an opportunity to worship the Creator who chose 2,000 years ago to become man, to die on the cross of Calvary, to be buried, and to rise again the third day. We have an opportunity to bless his name. We have an opportunity to live for him and honor him. In this passage, there is a prescription for loving life. It is for those who don't want to just be saved. It's for those who don't just want to vegetate as believers, who do not want to just exist, but wish to maximize their life. To see good days, he then says in that next phrase here, for he that will love life and see good days. Seeing good days indicates the aspect of literally a life that is filled with blessing. Verses 10 through 12, if we will, for a moment, kind of go through these, Peter is writing really with an understanding that especially as a believer in Jesus, we have to be careful what we say, what we do, and even what we think. We have to be careful. We've heard, just the accolades as far as the awards that this group of graduates has achieved this year. And really, truly, what a blessing to see them using their mind to accomplish such great things. I don't know who it was who said the mind is a beautiful thing. Don't waste it, right? We don't want to waste it. So they have goals, and that's tremendous to do that. There's three choices in the context of life, and I've used this often at funerals. There are some that have an attitude of that life is just simply something to be endured, right? Just endure life. You know, it's a burden, and, you know, others control you. Just kind of endure your life. And, you know, I had a cousin of mine tell me that one time. He said, Tracy, you know, I'm just trying to endure life. You know, it's just something I got to get through, and at the end of it, I'll die. But you know what? The only problem with that is that's not the way to look at life. So there's those that have the attitude of just simply trying to endure it. There's some that have the attitude of, you know, trying to escape life, and that life's not a burden necessarily, but it's a battle. You know, it's a battle every day. You're in control, that kind of attitude. I'm in control of my own destiny. I'm in control of my own wishes and wants and ambitions. You know, so there's that way. But then the last way, and I think is the most important and most crucial, And I think this is what Peter captures here in these few verses. And the aspect of having the attitude of choosing, and I emphasize that word, choosing to enjoy life. Life is a gift. Life is a blessing. Life is, you say, yeah, life is precious. It's, you say, yeah, but pastor, I mean, you don't have my life. Well, I may not have your life, but you don't have my life, right? And we've all faced challenges. We've all faced trials. I spoke with a lady at the wedding yesterday, and she's in her mid-70s, and she was talking to me and battling depression and battling, you know, thoughts of suicide and just different things. So I was able to talk to her and try to encourage her and let her know, hey, you know, life is a gift, you know. And what one of the things the devil wants to do when you're battling that kind of stuff, and I've been there, right? He wants to tell you that your life is of no value and that you don't matter anymore. But that's a lie from hell, ladies and gentlemen. You do matter because, listen, if you didn't matter, you wouldn't be here any longer. We do matter to God. We do matter, and the Lord loves us unconditionally. And by the way, thank God for that. Thank God that He loves us unconditionally. He didn't put stipulations on His love for us. He didn't say, like some do, well, as long as you do this, I'm going to love you. No, friend. The Lord Jesus says, I love you. Let me show you how much I love you. As He stretches His hands out on that cross of Calvary. But life indeed is a gift. He that will love life. And then notice what else He says. And see good days. See carries with it. It means to enjoy and experience life. You all have an opportunity of a lifetime. Truly an opportunity of a lifetime. And I would add, I would say as your pastor, get all that you can. Get all that you can out of this life. Don't put, I don't know. No, you go for it all. But keep Jesus first, right? Keep Christ first in your life. You know, go have your ambitions and have your goals. And I'm a big proponent of having goals and setting goals and in life. And there's nothing wrong with you know, maybe where you're at right now, but have goals of achieving things and doing things and accomplishing things. What a tremendous opportunity we have. So I don't know who wrote it. I may misquote it, but it's something like, Life is a gift that God gives us, but the life that we live to glorify and honor Him is a gift we can give back to Him. Now, that wasn't the exact quote, but that's in essence kind of the philosophy behind that statement. Life is a gift God gives us, but what we choose to do with this life, really, what are we choosing to do with it? You say, preacher, my life's so miserable. Well, here's what I've learned in life. A lot of it comes down to our attitude, right? It really truly does. A lot of it comes down to our attitude, you know, gloom, despair, everybody's against me, nothing, woe is me. Listen, friend, you know, a lot of times it's about our attitude. You know, and one of the things we have to be careful is using the word all, you know, all and always. Everybody hates me. Well, be careful using that word. Because you can stereotype everybody around you when it's not really true. And the devil loves to fill your mind with things that aren't true. But what a blessing is to know that God's word is absolute. Young people, please hear my heart. I pray to God you hear this and you never forget this. God's word, the Bible, is absolute truth. You can base your life on it. You can build your life on it. I promise you, you will face not just in secular universities, not just in jobs. You will face in this world an attitude and an ideology that the Bible is full of errors and it's all fictitious stories. Those are lies. God has one book that He authored, and it's His Bible. And no matter how educated, please hear this, no matter how educated you may be, don't ever get too educated to where you don't think the Bible is God's word any longer. The Bible is God's word. If you want to hear from God, you read His Bible. If you want to talk to God, you pray to Him. The Word of God is something you can build your life on. And to quote the greatest man that was ever a part of my life, the greatest man I've ever known, my granddaddy. My granddaddy said, old buddy, that's what he used to call me. He's holding this Bible. He said, you read this book, you abide by this book, speaking of the Bible. He said, you'll turn out to be a pretty good boy. And I, you know, he knew a little about what he's talking about. He knew the context of how the Bible was so important. So that speaks of our attitude. He that will love life and see good days. But now he's going to talk about our actions, right? He's going to talk about our actions, how to get the most out of life. And he continues on here in verse 10. He says, let him refrain his tongue from evil. So he's talking about our actions. He's talking about guarding our tongue. Now, why do we have to do that? Well, what we say most clearly reveals what we are. Words, as has been stated, are windows through which others may peer into our character. So be careful what you say. Be careful, you know, in the context of this. He then goes on, he uses a word. Well, just look at the wording. I'm going to just break this down a minute. In verse 10, he said, let him refrain his tongue from evil. The word refrain suggests the vigorous struggle which men face in order to avoid speaking evil. The word speaks of a natural tendency that from which this struggle must take place. You know, he says, refrain from it. Avoid it. Don't do it. Let him refrain his tongue. Be careful what you say. And then he goes now to another aspect. And his lips that they speak no guile. And then notice in verse 11. So he says, you know, guard your tongue. And then he talks about go away from evil. It's in the meaning of the word eschew there, verse 11. Let him eschew evil, verse 11. It literally means to turn away from. The Bible speaks when it talks about a man named Job. It uses the same word. He eschewed evil. He literally turned away from evil. You've got some choices to make. I promise you, you will be faced with a lot of evil choices in the world. You will be. Mark it down. And when it happens, you ought to say, preacher told me this was going to happen. Preacher told me I would be faced with decisions. Preacher told me I would be faced, you're going to be, no doubt, probably, you're going to be faced with choices of drinking alcohol at college, possibly. Don't do it. Stay away from that garbage. You want to destroy your life? Get alcohol in it. It will rob you. It will destroy your life. Because it leads to another, to another, to another, to another. A man who met me over in the annex building today, he came in, he was weeping. And I was able to talk to Miss Heather, introduce him to me. He just happened to wander in. I say, just happened. I believe God allowed him to come in. I believe it was an ordained part of the Lord's plan. And he came in, was talking to me. And he's struggling with heroin. And he was honest and open. And I was talking to him. And I was telling him about, you know, as far as the environment and who you hang around, I said, environment plays a big role into that. He says he knows Christ as his Savior, and maybe he does. He said he's truly born again. And believe me, I do know that you can be a Christian and still struggle with sin. Amen? You can be a born-again believer and still struggle with sin. But a lot of it has to do with environment. Larry's statement, what's the statement about your friends? What was the statement, Larry, you said? You are who your friends are. That's a tremendous statement. You are who your friends are. Big Rose used to say it like this. Those kids you're running with, to me, she said, Tracy, those boys you're running with going to get you in a heap of trouble. Be careful who you run with. I would challenge you. Have friends, have godly influences in your life that are going to go after God. They're going to be positive influences in your life. Even in school, find positive influences in your life. He says, go away from it. He speaks now, verse 10, verse 11. In verse 10, he speaks of our evil speech. In verse 11, he speaks of our evil activity. Let him eschew evil there. And then he talks about something else, kind of like this one, in verse 11. And do good. Wow. Go away from evil. Number three, grasp that which is good. Do good, he says. We must not only lean away from wrong, we must do that which is right. That's a tremendous statement. We must lean away from wrong, but we must do what is right. Do good carries with the best way, and honestly, the best way to shun evil. What's the best way to shun evil? Here it is. Do the will of God. That's it. Do the will of God in your life. Find God's will and go after it with every fiber of your being. Go after it. Chase after it. You know, it's important as a believer in Jesus, if we truly know Christ as our Savior, go after it. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says, who he did not sin. He knew no sin. He did not sin. One of the things that was said of the Lord Jesus, and when they were asked, you know, what type of person he was, it just simply says, one of the writers says, everywhere he went about doing good. He touched people's lives. He was a positive influence in people's lives. To the graduates, to everyone that is here today, be a positive influence. Be someone that speaks truth into people's lives. Don't be someone who just tells people whatever they want to hear. That's not a true friend. A true friend doesn't just tell you what you want to hear. A true friend tells you what you need to hear. Can I get a witness in this room? A true friend, somebody said, yeah, but preacher, sometimes my friend, they tell me things that kind of hurts my feelings. Well, chances are they're telling you that because they care about you and they want to prevent you from making major decisions that will harm you the rest of your life. So be careful. Be careful about who you run with. Be careful. And then he says some other things here. He says, look what else he says here in verse 11. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Ensue means to pursue. When you use the phrase seek peace and ensue it, it's a vigorous Greek terms here. It means to seek diligently, to follow eagerly, to press forward, to avidly pursue. What a tremendous words of encouragement from Peter here. And lastly, notice the application of it all. Here's the application. Talked about the attitude. We've talked about the actions of how to get the most out of life. But here's the application. And we see this in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Who are the righteous? The born again believer. That's who the righteous are. Those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. In the context of this phrase, the eyes of the Lord are in this context here, over the righteous, the eyes of the Lord are literally directed in a favorable sense. Directed in a favorable sense towards his children. He's not oblivious to our circumstances, nor is he uninformed about the injustices which we might experience. God knows. What a tremendous encouragement that is. Amen. The Lord knows. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And then listen to this. I love this. And his ears are opened unto their prayers. I read years ago one writer, and I forget which writer. It might have been Wearsby, I forget. But he was talking about this and he uses this phrase, his ears are opened unto their, those were prayers. When you face difficulty, when you face temptations and trials, you can pray to God. You can talk to the Lord. And then the indication there that his ears are open unto our prayers, it literally is an indication of bended knee with his ear bent down. What a picture of our Lord. You ever had times where you prayed? You had a situation, you had a difficult situation you're facing, and you just said, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need a special touch here, God. You want to get the most out of life? Understand why we do what we do. Why we should choose to love life. Why we should, you know, choose to, you know, see good days. Why we should choose to run away from evil. Why we should choose to seek peace. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord's eyes are over us. He's watching us. He sees everything that we do, and that's a scary thought, isn't it, sometimes? He sees everything that we do, but his ears are open unto our prayers. What a tremendous God that we serve, amen? What a tremendous Savior that we have in Jesus Christ the Lord. He ends by this simple statement. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's a great God. He's a great Savior. And I appreciate Brother Stephen and the statement that he made. You know, now, yes, it was our daughter, and I appreciate the statements. And it's a blessing. And one of the joys we have as preachers is to see that kids, when they graduate, they stay with God. Amen. You just listen, just because you graduate high school doesn't mean you got to quit on Jesus. Right? And I know in our culture, there's a big bend, there's a big sway a lot of times of kids when they graduate high school. They just quit God. They quit church. They quit all that. But it's a joy to see them when they stay faithful to the Lord. I promise you, if you will, if you stay faithful to Jesus, I promise you, if you will, if you'll stay faithful to Christ, He will bless your life. You will see good days. You'll appreciate that life is a gift. You won't have to go through life as somebody just simply trying to endure it, somebody trying to escape it. You'll go through life with an understanding that life is a gift, and because it's a gift, I choose to enjoy it. Now, does that mean that there won't be difficult times? No, that's not what that means. Good grief, we know that. You don't have to be a Bible expert to know that life isn't easy. Life is hard. Whoever said life is easy, they're lying. It isn't easy. We even see that in the text and the wording of the text. When he used the word refrain, let him refrain his lips, right? From evil, speaking evil and guile. I mean, that word alone really fleshes out for us the passionate pursuit of, you know, being careful what we say, what we think, what we do. Keep your eyes on Christ. So the graduates, keep your eyes on Christ. My prayer to God is that 4 years from now, when you graduate, five, whatever, that you're still serving Christ, that you still have a passionate pursuit for Jesus. The devil will come after you with the onslaughts of hell to try to get your heart and affection and your mind away from the Lord. But don't let him do that. You understand, and Jesus said, one of the greatest verses, when Jesus said, he was asked by the lawyer in the New Testament, when he was asked by that lawyer, what is the greatest commandments in the Bible? What did Jesus say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and what else? Your mind. Love him with your mind. Don't just use your mind to gain information. Use it, yes, to gain information, but then to be able to give God praise and give him glory with the giftedness that he's blessed you with to be able to learn all that. Keep him first. Learn, serve him. Do everything that you do with an understanding that the eyes of the Lord, he's watching you. You know, I know sometimes as parents, you know, we tell our kids, you know, no matter where you go, I'll always know if you're going to mess up, if you're going to do things you shouldn't. You know, we got spies called other parents that'll tell on you. But you know, in all honesty, we have the greatest father watching over our kids. We have the greatest father anyone could ever have that keeps an eye on our kids. Don't ever forget that, young people. Don't ever forget that. Pray for them. And again, and read those verses. When you face troubles and you face adversity, and let me just say something, let me encourage you. When you face trial and trouble and adversity, oh, by the way, you're going to. Don't that encourage you? You're going to face heartaches. You're going to face troubles. The eyes of the Lord are over, right, the righteous, but his ears, he bends it down. With bended knee, he bends his ear down to our prayers. You can pray and you can talk to him. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how troublesome it gets, he wants to hear from you. Now you say, well, preacher, why would the Lord want to fool with us? Because he loves us. He's obligated himself to take care of us. He knows when we're hurting. He knows when we're bothered. He knows when we're frustrated. And he'll walk with us every step of the journey. If you know him as your Savior, we are blessed. If you do not know him as Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Will you do that? Let's all stand, please, for hymn of invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come. We trust if God has spoken to your heart that you will respond, that you will not just see this as just simply another service to have to set under the preaching. No, I pray that you've encountered a living and loving God in today's service, and that the Lord has touched your heart in a special way. And maybe you like to come to the altar and just pray, or whatever God's dealt with you about, we encourage you to do that. Will you do that? What's the number, Brother Stephen?
Hymn number 445.
445. You come as we sing.